Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review on this 11th of April 2016. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to Instagram and follow me at Willow Gerald Quinn. iTunes.apple.com to rate and review the program. And for the next 45 minutes, we'll be discussing, of course, the world of sports. And we begin, of course, in Augusta with one of the all-time collapses in major golf tournament history, in Masters history. And that is, of course, one Jordan Spieth, who went from almost golf immortality to being on that list in roughly an hour. And, you know, I'm watching this tournament, in particular Saturday and the front nine on Sunday, I'm thinking to myself, like, this thing is over. Like, this guy is going to make history. He's going to be the first player in the history of men's major golf to go wire to wire at a major in back-to-back years. Like this guy, you know, he's Tiger right now. Like, nobody's beating this guy. And looking at the leaderboard, like, Dustin Johnson never made a big putt in his life. Westwood, too old. Longer, too old. The other guy's not quite championship ready yet. I'm like, this guy's going to run away with this. Rory fell off, in particular in the second round. Like, nobody, like, thinking myself, like, nobody is beating this guy. Nobody. Like, nobody. And, you know, the thing about golf is there's so many elements that can cause it to go wrong. I mean, just the pressure. Again, I've never played golf in my life, never been on a golf course. Well, been on a golf course once, but never played golf in my life. But the pressure that these guys deal with in these tournaments, remember, these guys are playing for their lives. You know, they pay their own way. They, you know, tour cards, exceptions, they're playing for their lives here, livelihood, literally playing for their livelihood. And when you see them dealing with elements, the wind, the pressure, the greens, other golfers, of course, who get hot, who amp up the pressure that much more, the crowd, your family, your friends, all these elements that can go into having a 45 minutes to an hour like Jordan Spieth had. And again, we've seen collapses before. I'm not going to really say that this was the greatest collapse in the history of golf. I'm not. It's, you know, you do your research, prisoner in the moment. I'm not going to say that. But this happened so fast. It happened so fast. And it was not only, it was a combination of who it happened to, how it happened, and how quick it happened. Like, you get the Amen corner. And again, everybody talks about the 12th. It began at the 10th. Remember, he birdied the last four holes of the front nine, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. Going into the back nine, you're saying, you're not saying whether or not he's going to win a tournament. You're saying how many strokes is he going to win it by? It's not a matter of if, he wins. Not a matter of if, it's how many. And again, I was not rooting against Jordan Spieth, but I'm kind of glad it happened because it makes this a much more interesting show for the train wreck. There's a reason why the news people say it, when it bleeds, it leaves. Like, nobody cares about a good Samaritan helping an old lady across the street. That's not going to be on the front page of USA Today. It's not. It's just not. This is the epitome of when it bleeds, it leaves. And Jordan Spieth was bleeding all over the place at Augusta yesterday afternoon. And he couldn't stop the bleed. Now, I'm not going to go crazy and say that this is going to define Jordan Spieth. Remember, he did birdie a couple holes after that, got to three under. He didn't go like completely into the tank. Like, he didn't go completely into the tank. He showed you something about birdieing like two of those next three holes after the disaster at 12. That showed you something. How mentally tough this guy is. 22 years old. I don't buy the fact that this is going to be something that, I mean, this will be something that we'll never forget, but I don't buy the fact that his career, all of a sudden, he's not going to have the kind of career that we thought he was going to have before this took place. I think this is a guy that's going to win anywhere from 7 to 10 majors. Remember, his career at the Masters has been 2-1-2. That's been his career at the Masters. 2-1-2. I'm not talking about a New York area code. Okay. Top five, his last five majors. This guy is going to be around. He's just too talented, which makes his collapse that much more shocking. Like, I literally think Jordan Spieth, outside of Tiger Woods in his prime and Ben Crenshaw, I think Jordan Spieth is the best putter that I've ever seen, to be honest with you. The guy can putt. He is a virtuoso putter. I mean, he'll always be in a tournament, especially these major tournaments. And that's the thing about golf that no other sport has. Like, you can have thousands of swings, years and years of practice, textbook swings, textbook drives, textbook putts. When the pressure or when that moment gets to a player, and you want to call it a choke, you want to call it him being just overwhelmed, the moment being too big, or just even being overwhelmed by everything, or just hitting a bad shot. Like, we're not talking about a guy who hadn't. Listen, this guy's won two majors. He's won at Augusta before. I just gave you where his career at Augusta, and prior to this tournament, had been second place, first place. So this guy knows how to play major tournament golf. He just had a bad three holes. He had a bad three holes at the very worst time that you can have a bad three holes at Amen Corner. And he allowed a guy who basically people stateside in America basically almost never heard of, unless you're a golf junkie or golf nerd, to win the tournament. And listen, I'm not trying to take anything away from Ouellette. He did a great job. Listen, no bogeys in the final round, 67. Give him credit for picking up the pieces. He is not even close to being the story. He's not even close. He's a distant second. Like, Justin Spieth is like secretariat, and Ouellette would be that next horse in terms of how far ahead Justin Spieth is in terms of being a story. Like, he's not even close. Not even. It's just like that. It is all about Justin Spieth. Excuse me, Jordan Spieth. It's all about Jordan Spieth. Listen, I thought the tournament was okay. Listen, that alone made the tournament. Spieth really took the Masters off the hook when his collapse. And I'm going to tell you why. The Masters, over the course of the week, over the course of the tournament. The course played too hard. It's just like you only had five players under par. Listen, I like the U.S. Open. U.S. Open can be difficult. That's the epitome of U.S. Open golf. Guys over par, guys struggling with the course. That's what makes the U.S. Open U.S. Open. British Open, the same thing with the wind, the rough, you know, the walls. That's fine. I don't want that out of Augusta. Like, I don't, the golf course is already, listen, the golf course is already the star without it playing so hard. It's already the star. Like, there's not a prettier golf course in the world. There's not one, it is one of the landmark sporting destinations, events on the face of this earth. I mean, period. Churchill Downs, Wimbledon, Wrigley Field, it's on the Mount Rushmore of sporting events. The prestige, the tradition, all of that. The Masters, it is what it is. It stands, you know, in some cases, it stands alone. We don't need the golf course to play that difficult. We don't need to make it hard. Jack Nicklaus said the par 12 is one of the toughest short holes in the whole in the world. Amen Corner, you saw what happened. Don't need the course to make it, like, you don't need to make the course difficult. And I felt like the level of play was not really, outside of Spieth, really wasn't that good overall, to be honest with you. But again, that's not the story because of the Spieth collapse. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Is a call number in this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. Of course, the Masters, you got Danny Willett is your Masters champion, the first Englishman since Nick Faldo to win it back in 96. I know everybody's trying to make comparisons because Faldo's an Englishman and Greg Norman collapsed. Listen, this collapse went beyond Greg Norman's. Because I don't think Jordan Spieth is a better golfer than Greg Norman ever was. You know, Greg Norman had a bunch of physical talent, but Jordan Spieth, we've seen him close out golf tournaments. Greg Norman, you know, made a habit of falling apart in the big moments at various golf tournaments. So to me, I don't even compare Norman's collapse with Jordan Spieth's, because it's coming from a guy who is just is a much better player. This is a much better player. Now, Willett to Faldo is a similar comparison as far as, not in terms of skill set, but as far as a guy who just was there to pick up the pieces and basically was near flawless over the course of the final round in a major, you know, at the highest level in a major. Like, you go bogeyless in a major, the final round of a major, that's big-time golf when you're in contention. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Golden State gets win number 72 last night. They tied the Chicago Bulls. They are at now 72-9. They'll have, of course, game number 82 at home tomorrow night. Wednesday night against the Memphis Grizzlies at home. I don't see how they lose that game. I think, you know, once you got to this point, you might as well just complete the trip. Like, I think that they're going to win that game and be 73-9. You know, last night, listen, if you're San Antonio, I don't know how much you take out of that game. If you're San Antonio, I think Golden State was more excited about tying the record than they actually were about beating the Spurs. It's not the Spurs team. More important than Tim Duncan missing, Boris Diaw is not there. Boris Diaw is a guy who is going to play a vital role in the Spurs challenging the Warriors for the championship. Now, I think Golden State, all healthy, all be equal, is a better team. I think Golden State will win a championship this year. But you put Boris Diaw on San Antonio, it changes the entire dynamic of them when they match up against Golden State. Diaw can give them tons of problems. Diaw is a matchup problem for a lot of teams. We saw, he was big time 2 years ago against Oklahoma City, those last two games, and against the Miami Heat. Like, the guy was tremendous in those two playoff series. So, again, to me, last night was about Golden State tying the Bulls record, and not so much about them beating San Antonio. This is not the San Antonio Spurs team that they're going to see come in the Western Conference Finals. And again, unless something crazy happens, unless there's just a litany of injuries, it is a two-horse race, not only in the Western Conference, but it's a two-horse race in the NBA in general with Golden State and San Antonio. If I'm San Antonio, all I'm worrying about is being healthy, preserving Duncan as much as I can preserve him, having those guys fresh. And when you see San Antonio has been resting people all season long, in particular the last couple of weeks. You know, Popovich knows what time it is. He knew he had a slightly outside chance of getting the record of catching Golden State. Probably didn't even think that they probably were going to ever catch Golden State. But he played enough guys to somewhat force Golden State to play some guys and to get a good look at what Golden State could look like. It's going to look like if they are to meet in the Western Conference Finals. So he got them to show their hands from that standpoint. But the bottom line is San Antonio will be fine. I'm not worried about them at all. And they will be in the Western Conference Finals against Golden State. Josh Gordon failed another drug test. What's new as far as that goes? You have Josh Gordon failing another drug test. You have Johnny Miller apparently living with Johnny Miller, the golfer. Golf on my mind. Johnny Manziel living with Von Miller. God bless Von Miller for that one. He's a grown man. He needs to get his life together on his own. In my eyes. But, Von Miller's a true friend, because right now I would be enjoying the spoils of being a Super Bowl champion and MVP. I wouldn't be concerned myself with Johnny Manziel and his antics, to be honest with you. But, again, they both from Texas A&M, so I'm trying to help him out. Good for him from that standpoint. Josh Gordon, just like the song that En Vogue had, never going to get it. Like, it's just not going to happen. This guy's wasted as much physical talent as any receiver in the league. He's wasted. He just blew millions and millions of dollars. The guy, again, he needs to just be banned from football, to be honest with you. NFL wants to do him a favor as far as his life, his quality of life. Ban him from football. I mean, please. Like, seriously. Keeps getting chances. I think at this point they're enabling him right now, because he keeps getting chances over and over again. So to me, if the NFL wants to really do the guy a favor, just ban him out, kick him out the league. I mean, how many drug tests can you fail? You know? And again, it's over the same thing. It's weed. I mean, that's it. It's weed. It's over the same thing. Drug test, in the various drug tests that he's failed, it's been over the same thing. So I don't see anything happening that will turn Josh Gordon around. Maybe by some miracle or chance, that Von Miller can get to Johnny Manziel, but Josh Gordon is finished. You know, it's over for him. 347-215-6180 is the call number. A tragedy down in Bayou Country. We'll talk about that. And the last two games of the Black Mamba. That's coming up and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Coon Review. We'll be right back. Is a call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Coon Review. Opening week in baseball, obviously a big time, a big week for the Baltimore Orioles, starting off 5-0. Very important for a team coming off a year where they took a step back to get off to a fast start. Again, Baltimore can score with anybody. We know that. It's a matter of that pitching, of that starting pitcher, can it hold up? So far, so good for them at 5-0. Giants off to a pretty good start at 5-2. Took 3 out of 4 from the Dodgers. They're going to score a ton of runs as well. Seem to have some improved starting pitching. And we know what they do in even years. Pittsburgh off to a pretty good start, although they lost today. Right now, you have the Yankees and Mets. The Marlins and Mets. Marlins up 3-0. Good series out of Philadelphia against the Mets, taking 2 out of 3 against the Mets. Philly has some nice young pieces. They're not ready to contend, but they have some guys, you know, Franco, Aaron Nola, they have some guys you can build around. I mean, they have some real nice young pieces. They finally starting to get rid of these guys, some of these older guys that probably Ryan Howard will be the last to go out of that group, Rollins, Utley, you know, that won a championship back in 2008 with the World Series 2009. So, you know, getting younger, rebuilding with young players, and getting, considering how much young talent there is in baseball, you draft well, get the right free agents as far as plugging, you know, some veteran players. It does not take that long to get back to playoff contention in baseball. It really doesn't, because there's a ton of young talent. The story of all baseball, no pun intended, is one Troy story, a guy who has 7 home runs in his first week as a rookie, only in Colorado. Now, for a guy get off to that kind of start, we'll see, you know, how long this lasts, but you know, he's been a home run machine through the first week of the season. So we'll see how long that lasts. Boston scoring a ton of runs, even though they were kind of slowed down yesterday, but they're scoring a ton of runs. Again, pitching, that's a whole other deal with them. The AL East is going to be wide open as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Yankees are going to have good pitching, been hitting well. Blue Jays, we know they can score. Not sure about the starting pitching. Boston can score. Baltimore can score, and Tampa Bay always has decent pitching that keeps them afloat, and that will keep them afloat. So we'll see what happens with them. Kansas City also a fast start, no surprise there. So pretty good start to the baseball season. Again, keep your eyes on that American League East. You know, you have a lot of teams that can score. I think that race is going to be fun to watch. That National League West race with the Dodgers and Giants is going to be fun to watch. With those two teams going, I think Giants are going to really like the Giants this year. And, of course, the National League Central. Again, I expect it to be another three-horse race with St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and Chicago. So, again, baseball, and I mentioned this earlier a couple of podcasts ago, baseball is in a great place right now. It's a great place. They have so much young talent, so much young pitching. You know, having the two wild cards makes perfect sense. And again, it does not take a lot to get back in contention, to rebuild from to come back from a bad year. Really, it doesn't. I mean, you can go worse than first in baseball quicker than almost. I mean, outside the NFL, I mean, you can go worse first as quickly as in any sport with baseball. 347-215-6180 is the call number. Of course, you had the tragic shooting of one Will Smith, the former defensive end, very good player, Super Bowl winning, Super Bowl champion, playing on the 2009 New Orleans Saints team. Again, shot and killed in apparent road rage by an ex-football player, high school, college football player. And, you know, it made me think about something that I saw last week in regards to Ray Lewis. And he went on a rant about black-on-black crime and, you know, kind of took a shot. But I don't think he was intending to take a shot at the Black Lives Matter movement. I think what he was taking a shot at was black on black crime. And, you know, basically saying, hey, if black lives matter so much, why are we killing, as African Americans, why are we killing each other in record numbers? And he really came out of Chicago, which, you know, just has been really just off the charts the last couple of years with the crime and with the murder. Shootings in particular. And lo and behold, after this was released, I think Ray Lewis thing was released what, Thursday. I saw it Friday, so maybe earlier last week. You had, you know, a prominent NFL player, a well-known NFL player get shot and killed. And not only did he get shot, his wife got shot. Now, luckily, she survived it, but he wasn't as fortunate. And again, I thought, you know, again, when I first saw the Ray Lewis video, heard about it, I was like, okay, here goes, you know, really was ready to really get on Ray, and was thinking to myself, here's a guy who was connected to a couple murders in Atlanta, not indirectly, so is he gonna be hypocritical? But I listened to the entire video and on YouTube, and he was right on the money, because I was ready to tear it apart. I was ready to tear it apart, self-righteous, hypocritical, but he was right on the money with everything he said. He really was. Really was. And I don't think you can tell when somebody's genuine rather than attention-seeking. This was not attention-seeking. Like Ray Lewis, millionaire, all-time great. He doesn't need, I don't think Ray Lewis does stuff for attention, to be honest with you. I just don't see Ray Lewis as being that type of individual. You want to call him, self-righteous? You want to call him, judgmental? Sure. But this, to me, this came off as genuine and heartfelt to me, in my opinion. And again, what can you say about what he said and not think that and not come out thinking that he was right? Excuse me. I got the set Troy Story. The guy's name was Trevor Story out of Colorado. And get that correction, Trevor Story. But I don't see how you can listen to Ray Lewis to that video, or I think he put it on Instagram, and not agree with what he said. I mean, the numbers are, like you said, the numbers don't lie. Blacks, especially black males, kill other blacks we are killing each other at record numbers as a comparison. Listen, you want to compare how many blacks kill other blacks versus cops that kill blacks? It's not even a comparison. Like, it's really not even a comparison at all. Does this take the cops off the hook? No. But it will go a long way in promoting the Black Lives Matter movement if you did not kill each other. It will take the Black Lives Matter It was taking Black Lives Matter moving to a whole nother level if we didn't shoot each other. So it's kind of like one of those situations where you got to get your own house straight so you start talking about somebody else's, no matter how messed up their house is. Because to be honest with you, in some of these cases with the cops, I feel like, unfortunately, it's a scary part of that, from that standpoint, that we almost not able to control it, which is scary. I know, I feel like we have more control of not killing each other than a cop killing a black man. That's just my personal opinion. This is my personal opinion. So, it's not like, I don't think he came off as anti-Black Lives Matter movement. He's anti-black-on-black crime. Look at it that way. So to hear about the Will Smith situation, and certainly condolences, prayers go out to his family. Hopefully his wife has a quick and speedy recovery. It's just, you know, it's just another case of something that you just didn't want to, just did not want to hear about. But unfortunately, you believe, you know, in the way things have been happening and the violence that's in these major cities, you know, very much, you know, it's almost normal at this point, to be honest with you. It's almost normal. You know, particularly in cities like Chicago and New Orleans. Yeah, 34 years old, Super Bowl champion, was an All-American at Ohio State, tremendous player coming out of Ohio State, was just, you know, and again, 34 years old. That's not, you know, the guy, I mean, barely lived. You know, that's far too young, far too early to be born. So definitely condolences out to him and his family. 347-215-680 is your call number. The Mamba will return on this last edition of the Slow Drill Queen Review. We'll be right back. Is your call number. As always, you can rate and review the program at itunes.apple.com. Look up Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. We take critical feedback. We prefer 5 stars, but we'll take 4. Questions, comments are certainly welcome. Look forward to hearing from you. And maybe, just maybe, you know, I might give you a shout out over the air on an email or a comment that you made. Bit of sports housekeeping, so to speak. Didn't see the fight, but certainly not surprised about Pacquiao Bradley. Pacquiao's crafty, you know, he's a crafty fighter, still, you know, very veteran. Bradley looked in like he was in tremendous shape at the weigh-in. Like he looked like a Rocky IV. Like, man, this guy, I mean, he had the training workout of his life. But apparently that was not enough, as Pacquiao won a unanimous decision. Sounds like there was no controversy in terms of the fight. Bradley, you know, Pacquiao, he said he's going back and forth, possibly retirement. These guys never retire. I mean, these fighters, listen, the right price comes up, they'll be fighting again. I don't think he'll be a Mayweather, but he'll fight somebody again. I wouldn't surprise him. Who knows? But, again, he's going to fight again, taking some time off. He has a ton of money, has other interests, not very good at singing, but has other interests in his country. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Of course, again, Wednesday night, you mentioned earlier, last game of the illustrious and iconic career of one, Kobe Bean Bryant, had a big game last night against Houston, 35 points on 10 of 22 shooting, 4 for 11 from 3-point range, was dueling with James Harden, who had 40. He did it. He did 35 points in 28 minutes, which is maybe the first time in his career that he's done that many, that scored that many points under 30 minutes. I think it's his career high for, in terms of under 30 minutes, it is his career high. They will play again. He'll play his final home game at the Staples Center against the Utah Jazz. Utah could be playing for a playoff spot, so the game is definitely going to mean something for the Jazz. Tonight, they're in Oklahoma City, playing the Oklahoma City against the Thunder. Thunder, I would venture, will be playing, you know, I don't anticipate that their guys will play a ton of minutes. Maybe, you know, maybe they'll go 25, 30 minutes. They are locked into that number three spot. So basically, be, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know, we'll see him in the Durant and Westbrook duel probably a little bit. But, you know, it comes out again Wednesday night, last night of last game of Kobe Bryant's career. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I thought this for the entire year, that I think he will retire for 1 year and come back in 2017, 2018. I still think that is very much on the table. I think I just cannot see this guy going out the last 3 years of his career not making the playoffs. Like, I feel like he's going to have one more year where he takes a shot at getting on a playoff team that can possibly contend for a championship. Now, again, I could be delusional. I am a Laker fan. I'm a Kobe Bryant fan since he was in high school. So it would be fair to call me delusional from that standpoint, which is fine. But I still think that's on the table. I really do. You know, there are a lot of opinions about how, you know, about this final year, how he's going out, the toll is taking on his body, the toll is taking on the franchise as far as player development, a number of things that have been said. One thing you can't deny, I don't care if you hate Kobe Bryant to your core, the guy goes out there every single night and lays it on the line when he does not have to. And, you know, you see him wrap him in ice packs from head to toe, basically. That is not an act. Like, the Achilles, the shoulder, knees, like, this guy physically is shot. He is, like, I mean, most, there's a reason why, you know, guys don't make it to 15, let alone 20 years at a two-guard position. But like, he's physically can't do it anymore. Physically, he's done. He's been done for the entire year physically, but, you know, you see him out there, again, he has nothing to gain. Nothing to gain. He's only thing he's gaining is losses on the, you know, in the winning loss column, more, you know, ammo for media guys to come at him, you know, about the Lakers and stunting their development. So he has nothing to gain at this point. He's not there to put patent stats. He's entrenched in terms of being the third leading scorer in NBA history. He's not going to catch Karl Malone, let alone Kareem. You know, so again, you have to like respect that a guy again with nothing to gain is going out there and playing like, you know, like he's trying to make the team. And contrary to what people have said this year, I feel like all things considered, hey, listen, guys are going to end up averaging about 17 points a game. Shoot percentage is what it is, but he's in his 20th season. He's in his 20th season, able to still get off that many shots, able to still have those occasional nights where he can go for 25, 30. Age 37 with the mileage is, I don't think we'll ever see a two-guard play as long as he played at the level of, definitely not 17 years at All-NBA level and 20 years altogether. I don't think you'll ever see that again. LeBron James is 6'9", 270. for a small foul board. So maybe he can get 20 years. I don't know if he can get 20 years. He even takes games off now, so I should, you know, physically. Again, you have to choose the team, Golden State, Kobe. Do both. I mean, do both. They're both, to me, have their own piece of history. As far as I'm concerned, I'm leaning towards Kobe, but I'll be back and forth a little bit, especially if the game gets out of just completely out of hand and Kobe's not on the floor anymore, which is certainly possible, considering what Utah did to the Lakers last game. I expect Lakers to have more of a fight this game because the game is in L.A. and it's Kobe's last game. But, you know, if Utah's playing for a playoff spot, then they can run away with that very early. 347-215-6180 is the call number. We'll wrap up the show when we return on this last edition of the Cigar Joe Queen Review. We'll be right back. Wrap up with the Masters. The Chicago Bulls are not going to be in the playoffs this year. And the reason why I bring that up is all I heard last year was how tough and physical and demanding Tom Thibodeau was. That's all I heard. Players are worn out. He's one of the causes of their injuries. Now you come in with a soft coach. And basically with the same roster, minus a Noah because of the injuries, they don't make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, which is still makeable, despite the improvement. Like, for them not to be amongst the top 18 in the Eastern Conference just goes to show you that you can't ever, I don't care what sport it is, I don't care how important the players are, can't ever de-emphasize a head coach. Ever. You can't. You know, the only coaches I de-emphasize are the hitting coach in baseball, swing coach in golf, and a tennis coach to a lesser extent. Those are the three coaches that I de-emphasize. Because to me, it's all about those individuals. And in baseball, hitting to me is an individual, it's an individual thing. Individual part of the game within a team concept. Managing egos, managing minutes, managing, you know, game plans, X's and O's over the course of an 82 game season, and having a guy like Tom Thibodeau, who all he did was win. Okay, all he did was win. And even when his teams were beat up, even when his best player couldn't stay on the floor, teams always fought, and they always got the most out of their ability with what he had to deal with. And players, the thing about it, players developed. Another thing, that's another thing you look at too in the NBA, are young players developing. Derrick Rose became an MVP. Jimmy Butler is an All-NBA caliber player. Joakim Noah was top three in MVP one year. Paul Gasol was an All-NBA player last year at his advanced age. Heinrich, he had a number of guys who developed. Tony Snell, number of young guys. And, I mean, who dealt better with point guards, backup point guards, than Tom Thibodeau? But again, Chicago's loss hopefully will be the Lakers' game. And on that note, I say I will see you next time on the next edition of the Cigar Joe Queen Review. Have a great evening.